Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football. What you want? We got a mighty opposition, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too.
And welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Check us out at MWCConnection.com. You can email us at MountainWestFootball@gmail.com. Twitter, you guessed it, MWC Connection. And we're here with Chris and myself, Jeremy, here to discuss the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Wait, what? No, that's AAA.
Wait.
New Mexico Lobos. Come on, man. Football Bob.
Bob!
Football.
Bob! Yes, we're talking the Mexico Lobos this evening, continuing our preview series. We're going alphabetical order, so those who are wondering where UNLV is, it's coming up.
Yeah, because UNLV goes by UNLV, and Nevada hates to go by UNR. Although that would be some excellent trolling if we managed to save Nevada until we do UNR, and then they'd be after UNLV. I feel like it would be very fitting, especially since they lost the cannon last year.
Possibly. We can make some people upset about it. But we've already done Nevada, so next year, if we're still doing this next year.
God willing, we'll still be doing this next year.
We'll see. We will see how things turn out, but we're not going to worry about that now.
Wait, you're not leaving me, are you?
No. I'm not going anywhere. I'm good. We're good. Nothing to see here. We're good. Talking to Mexico. Before we get to New Mexico, there's some news up in Chucky Keaton's backyard. Not good news.
It literally might be in his backyard just because Logan is such a small town, but I highly doubt that.
Well, I don't think you can.
Because the news actually has nothing to do with Chucky Keaton.
It does not. It does. It may thwart his production. Possibly, but if it happened in his backyard, the arrest is much warranted for what happened for one of the players getting a DUI.
Yeah, that's... So we're still waiting for the charges to be processed and whether or not the players involved are guilty or innocent. But in the meantime, that definitely says something to think about, at least for the coaches, whether they are guilty or even if they are innocent. How they're going to deal with that. Obviously, if the players are guilty, you know, then they're kind of in jail.
And they're both pretty serious things. Ronald Butler had a DUI and charged with other illegal activities, does not specify. And Butler, basically the gist of it, routine traffic stop, then led to the DUI charge. And then you got JoJo Natson, who just appeared on our top 50 list, which is going on as we speak. He apparently had... I don't quite understand. It's basically theft. That's what the charge was. Somehow he diverted university funds intended for another athlete to his own. So does that mean he signed over a check? Because you get a scholarship check. And I'm assuming, this is the year 2014. Did you have direct deposit when you were in college working somewhere?
I didn't work in college until I went to grad school.
Okay. in grad school, did you get direct deposit?
Yes.
I have direct deposit. I never get paper checks anywhere because I would lose them probably. So I'm assuming, not to say he did this, but it sounds like you get a paper check in the mail. He could have forged a signature to cash it. He could have signed it over to forge a signature. That seems the most likely scenario because the NCAA is not sending you cash in the mail. And so, pretty serious stuff. And those are, and Natson was return man. He ran the ball. He had, what, 7 total touchdowns last year. Both guys were supposed to step up because Utah State lost Travis Van Leeuwen and other receivers. And as of now, there's no suspension forthcoming. They might be waiting, Matt Wells, to kind of wait to see if the charges are lessened, if they're different, if there's any, who knows, like you said, any more severe punishment. But regardless, it's bad news for the Aggies if these guys miss any time, especially the opener versus Tennessee.
Yeah, and that kind of definitely puts a hit on not just their chances for the opening weekend, but also possibly their Mountain West title hopes as well.
Definitely, and then also some other, I guess, good news.
Yay, good news.
Well, potentially good news. Who's your cable provider there in Las Vegas? They have Cox. What else do they have there in Vegas?
Cox is pretty much it. That's CenturyLink is trying to make a push, but not really.
Good luck with that, CenturyLink. So basically, Cox or DirecTV or Dish, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say Google Fiber, but that's unfortunately about 10 miles down the road from me, which I cannot get, and I want to...
Boo!
I might move to get it, possibly, down the road. But the good news is, Cox just signed an agreement with the SEC
Speed, Paul.
Where's my $100 million, Paul?
You don't get it. Only Cam Newton gets that kind of money. Allegedly. Because, you know, he was such an important player at Auburn that the Bagman man should give him the money, which he's completely innocent of because Cam Newton's a Satan. Didn't take that money.
As he says in the... was it Roll Tide War Eagle documentary? It's an ongoing NCAA investigation with that big old smile. but basically, the big news is it affects me more than anybody. Well, not affects more than anybody else, but affects me personally. DirecTV is closing in on a deal to pay the outrageous fees of 25 cents a subscriber to get the SEC network on DirecTV for out-of-market states. That means Utah State, Tennessee, I can actually watch. Which is awesome. And then also, here in Utah, it's only on Google Fiber and Dish Network. They're working on a deal with Comcast/Xfinity, whatever you want to call it. That is in the works as well, as close to being a deal. So if you're in Utah, want to watch Utah State, Tennessee, that covers the entire state, unless you have some tiny local cable provider, which, sorry, but it helps out a lot.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, for those of us who, you know, spend good 12 to 13 hours a Saturday watching college football, like yours truly,
yes,
this just means that we can log more hours watching.
And also, somebody likes Texas A&M football, I can watch them, which is nice. And the biggest deal out of the DirecTV thing, it looks hinting to, this is Clay Travis from FoxSports.com, hinting at a larger deal, which could mean the Longhorn Network. But my favorite would be Watch ESPN coming to DirecTV. Dish Network made the big deal for the Watch ESPN, well, all the Disney stuff. Watch Disney, Longhorn Network, SEC, all that stuff. So that would be nice if that would happen. Excuse me. That would be the best. But so, yeah, the only thing we need is stinking Pac-12 Network to watch Fresno and Utah and those type of games. But it's Colorado and somebody else. Do you have any other news we need to discuss that's pertinent for this evening? Have you attended any Summer League basketball games?
No. But I have had to go to class at UNLV, so the Summer League basketball games were going on while I was in class. And so I've actually gotten to see all the players who are there, who are, if they're not staying in the bus, they're all have their cars parked in the parking garage.
Taking so I'm
probably parked next to a couple players, and I hope none of them dented my car.
Well, I doubt the players are driving, so it's probably the media guys. All right, let's get going. New Mexico football. This is Bob Davies' third season. 3-9 last year. It's football, Bob. We like what he's doing. However, they...
Does he?
Well, the offense seems to be moving at a reasonably good clip.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to be moving at a good clip. But we're gonna go ahead and say that the offense should be better this year than they were last year.
I said this the past 2.5 seasons we've been doing this, either in print or pixels, I should say, on the website, or through the show. Cole Gauchy is the best option at quarterback at running the ball. Dude, go to a quarterback guru to learn how to throw the ball. Because last year he was out with injuries, and whoever replaced him at any point in the season, the offense went to a standstill. With him in there, he could actually run the ball, do some good things. But when it's 3rd and 8, they're just going to stack the box and make him run. And single coverage is perfectly fine on any wide receiver they had. Even with Carlos Wiggins out there, it's perfect. There, we got you covered. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, he threw 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, but you're absolutely right. When anybody else was on the field with him, even though Clayton Mitchum was the better quarterback in terms of throwing rate, Mitchum didn't get anywhere near the scoring stats.
And he was sacked 19 times. 19 sacks.
How do you get sacked 19 times? The offensive line wasn't... Okay, they were pretty bad.
Not just that, but in this offense, how do you get sacked 19 times in a run-based offense?
Yeah, this is practically a triple option.
It's like saying Nate Romine or something in Air Force will get sacked 28 times.
Which basically means that he's running behind the line so often that he can't get up.
Yeah, like or it's the when he's doing the read option, he gets it up. Defense, offensive line so terrible they sneak through every time before you can make a read.
You know what's even worse about that 19 times?
He only played a handful of games.
Well, it's not only just a handful of games. In every out of he got sacked 19 times, that's 19% of the plays that he was involved in.
So every fifth play he was sacked, essentially.
Essentially every fifth play he was sacked. Good Lord, man.
Does CFB stats record hurries as well per quarterback?
I will check right now.
I'm going there right now. I'm looking as well. That's why I'm wondering. See, because if you're getting sacked 19 times.
19% of the time.
Well, 19% of the time and 19 times, you're getting hurried much more than that. Because he actually did play in every game. I didn't realize he did that. They must have... Wait, am I looking at the right guy here? Hold on here.
Clayton Mitchum.
Clayton. Oh, I'm looking at the team offense. No wonder. But wow. I'm seeing things like 3 attempts, 7 attempts. Oh, this is one guy. My mistake, I clicked on the team. I know they show hurries for teams. Let's click his name here. But while
Jeremy's looking that up, I mean, this is one of those things that Mitchum gets sacked 19% of the time when he plays. Cole Gauchy, on the other hand... gets sacked only 3.7%. That's one of those things that this is not an offensive line program or a problem. It's a Clayton Mitchum is not effective at running the ball or doing anything with the ball outside of throwing it. And when he throws it away, he actually, you know, completes a pass half the time.
More than half, 60%. It does not say they have I bet Football Outsiders has it, but I don't want to spend time looking it up at the moment to have, because it's not lovely radio. They have to have hurries for defenders, but not an offense. I mean, offensive individual players, but I don't get, why don't they send Gauchy to get some quarterback guru, like, who's the guy, Steve Johnson, I think, or he worked for Chucky Keaton, I believe his name is. Do something. You got to pretend to throw the ball, at least. Make an effort. Because...
Hell, you're in New Mexico. You can pull an Uncle Rico where Cole Gauchy can go stand out there and pretend that he can throw a football over the mountains. If he has the accuracy and hitting a cactus every time he throws the ball, he's going to be much more of an effective passer that way.
If he could, seriously, if he could be 60%, because he's 44%, 45%, if him and Clayton Mitchell could swap percentage rates, that's all you need. If he could be 60%, that'd be about, what, 45 of 78. He's 35 of 78. Give him 10 more completions, he's a threat. Because he had 7 yards per attempt, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. Not per completion, but per attempt. That's
decent.
I'm trying to see how that compares. Because Derek Carlisle had 7.7 yards per attempt.
That's decent. And he doesn't have the, you know, he wasn't throwing 500 times or whatever like Carr was.
Okay, that would be tight for ninth in the conference. Okay. That's fine, but it's not like it's far. If it's more than Caleb Herring was UNLV, right there within 1 yard of half the league. 7.7 is third. Or excuse me, he'd be within 1 yard of the league. Or of the average of the league, essentially, right in the middle.
So anyway, bottom line, Full Gauchy needs to throw the ball in order for this New Mexico offense to be super effective.
I don't know because, there's some other issues. You know, they don't have Caruso Gongbe, who has some off-season issues, and even though I guess his legal troubles might be in the clear at the moment, I don't think he's coming back. They lost Casey Carrier, who was amazing. So the running back comes down to Taron Gibson, I believe, perhaps, or Ja Rule Presley.
Yeah, Ja Rule. Did he convert from rapping to running back at New Mexico?
How would you say that? It's J-H.
It's Jarrell.
Jarrell? Okay, yeah. I guess. J-H, I don't see too many J-H names.
So, anyway, I think that's no problem because I'm pretty sure that's Jarrell Presley. Every time he was on the field, 29 rushes, but 273 yards. Yeah. I mean, he's averaging almost 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And it's not even that. It's after he got hit. He picked up an extra 13.6 yards. So that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Jarrell Presley will be there.
He should be the starter, I believe.
You know, Taron Gibson, easy.
Well, even Wiggins. He'll
probably involve a couple of the freshmen as well, the redshirt freshmen and the freshmen.
Yeah, even wide receiver Wiggins, because Bob Davey, they like to do with the pistol. I guess technically pistol of some sort.
Run option.
Yeah, run option pistol. They'll have the fly sweep a lot, and that's a Wiggins. 13 attempts, 161 yards running. He's also going to be one of their better wide receivers next year.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing about a run heavy offense and a run option offense as opposed to the pistol. Whereas opposed to the pistol, while it's heavy run, they still rely on the pass.
New Mexico needs to. They can, but New Mexico has to have a guy have a threat. They don't have the threat. That's what they need.
Exactly. But it's not hard to get a threat when you have so many guys running the ball.
And you would think, even with how terrible he's throwing the ball, teams would get sucked in on the play action, one-on-one coverage. How do you not beat that? I just don't get New Mexico, they're not on TV enough to get a good evaluation, really. That's kind of our problem, not searching that out. But
when you're on the up option, it opens up the pass so much where you can easily have Carlos Wiggins, Marquise Bundy, and this is what Bill Connolly was saying, throw it to Jarek Magnan.
Throw it to anybody. The open guy. Throw it to the open guy.
Okay. So this is a good stat, and this is why Bill C. says throw it to Jarek. Because Jarek, 19, he was targeted 34 times.
Yeah.
Caught 19. That's not great, but it's the best out of the team outside of Carlos Wiggins.
Yeah.
19 receptions, 294 yards. That's, you know, pretty fantastic. That's almost a first down every single,
basically reception. 9 yards, almost 9 yards a target.
Almost 9 yards a target.
And when he actually caught the ball for real targets, he was nine, basically, except first down, real yards per target.
Yeah. I don't know what any Y means, but it's up there.
Check out footballoutsiders.com or footballstudyhall.com for the glossary, as he says. But it seems like they have decent. It's hard to say they have good talent. They have, I guess, when the guy's got their chance of throwing the ball or catching the ball, they do good because it can't all be Cole Gauchy. Because you think about it, there's two ends. You got to throw the ball and catch the ball. Guys are. I put more blame on Gauchi, but still, when you guys are catching barely 50, here's the thing too, when you're catching 50% of your passes, that's not very good. You got to be catching more than that.
Yeah, but I mean, if we went back and we looked at game film, how many times were those players targeted and how many of those balls were realistically catchable?
True.
Because when you have, and this was the biggest problem with Cole Gauchi last year.
That's probably where real yards per target comes in.
Yeah. This was the problem with Cole Gauchi last year. The reason why he only completed under 50% of his passes was because when he's on the play action and when he's throwing, his balls were like in the air like wounded ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were, they were ready to, they were targeted at somebody, but they were nowhere near receptable. It kind of reminds me of that Photoshop image of when Joe Bowserman for Ohio State went 7 of 16. And have you seen this picture?
I think I have.
It shows like the bowl, and it shows like his receptions on the field, and then it shows like the other targets, and they were like literally in the stands.
Oh my! You know what the worst thing is about the Mexico offense and all those sacks? They actually had a ton of returning talent last year. They had three starters. This is going into last season. Three starters with more than 25 starts apiece.
Oh, by the way, while we're podcasting this, I'm sending the Bowserman pass chart for you.
Okay, thank you. I'll pull that. Thank you. There it is. The JPEG. Lovely.
Yes.
But what I'm getting at, how do you give up 70 sacks? That's got to be it's a quarterback issue, I think, with the amount of returning. It's like when we talked about Nevada. They're returning 10 starters, 14 who actually started last year. How good are they going to be when it was a bad unit? You kind of weigh the risk. Is it inexperience or are they just bad talent? But that's kind of the same thing. New Mexico had three starters with over 25 starts coming into the year. This year they lose a bunch of that, like Dylan Farrell, Daryl Johnson, or God. They have Lamar. They bring back three
Lamar
guys who started.
He's actually a very good guard.
Yeah.
But outside of that, most of their guys, brand new.
Well, three have double-digit starts.
Right. But that's not horrible when you're, once again, talking about New Mexico's run-heavy option.
But look at last year. They had the experience, and look how bad they were. If you go by the sack rate for 19 sacks there?
19 sacks for Mitchell Malone.
Yeah. Clayton Mitchell, yeah. What's it going to be this year? You know what I mean? Like, if it's less experienced,
But look, you look at the adjusted sack rate, and that were ranked 124th out of 124.
Yeah, they're dead last.
They are dead last. But at the same time, when you look at the quarterbacks, they only gave up, or the quarterbacks were only sacked 24 times. And I know that sounds like a lot, but 19 of those came from Mitchum. All their other scramble quarterbacks were able to get out of it.
Yeah,
so is this really a quarterback issue, or is this really is this really an offensive line issue?
I get your point, but it still comes down to some of both.
Yeah, I guess.
Assuming they keep Gauchi upright, they'll be okay. The sacks will be few and far between. It's just hard to the offense is exciting to watch. When you get to watch them, when they move it, it's pretty fun the way
when you get to watch through sports and watch them.
Yeah, I just. It's not that the offense was bad. They moved. They had a very high. They're one of the best in the country running the ball. One of the best offenses yards per game and yards per play overall. So we know the offense issue with Mitchell getting sacked, but it's also the defense is just the worst in the world. Our defense is just terrible. I don't know what to make of their defense. Because running, I'm trying to, my internet would be any faster. They were top 15 offense last year? Oh, my mistake, their running game. Overall, they're middle of the pack. My mistake. I assume.
And even as a middle of the pack, that's still pretty darn good considering how.
Their record.
Yeah.
And, the yards per play, not too bad. 6.5 per play. That's that's top half of the country. That was number 20th and 19th of the country last year. So they could move the ball. They had issue getting points.
At will. Pretty much at will.
Yeah, we get the competitions a bit different, so going off of just baseline numbers is a little deceiving for some part. But still, if you're getting 6.5 per play in your top 20 in the country,
you should be scoring a lot.
Yeah, and if, when you cross-reference scoring, they were 40th in the country at 32 a game. But, it's again, their offense outside of Mitchell getting sacked and Gauci cannot throw in the ball to save his life, I really think it's the defense. And Bob Davie, when he's at Notre Dame, he wanted to do smash mouth a little bit more football. But his defenses were pretty good at Notre Dame when he was there.
So let me ask you this. Without looking at it, and we're gonna be transitioning to defense, without looking at the schedule, how many games did New Mexico give up 45 points or more?
8.
No.
Higher or lower?
6.
That's too many.
That's too many. You gave up 49 points to Pittsburgh.
They did have Todd.
To UNLV. You gave up 56 damn points to UNLV. Now, UNLV was decent last year, but still. 45 points to Utah State, expected. You know? 66 points to Colorado State. What? 69 points to Fresno. Okay. 45 points to Boise State. I mean.
37 to Air Force.
And that's an offensively poor Boise State team, if you remember.
Yeah. And even if they're winning Air Force, you give up 37.
Gave up 35 to UTEP.
And they had to come from behind to win that game, I believe. Or at least outscore UTEP. So the defense is pretty bad. I just can't say pretty bad. It's terrible.
By pretty bad, you mean awful.
Yeah.
Look at these rankings. Look at these rankings. 5 factors for defense, and once again, if you need to look it up on Football Outsiders, explosiveness ranked 114th. Efficiency, 122nd. Field position, okay, 55. But field position is, you know,
both ways. Not
that's a very small standard deviation. Finishing drives, last. They could not hold anybody.
And then it gets even worse. Like if you check out like their adjusted stats and everything. They were ranked 100th or worse in every major category. Like, adjusted rushing line pass. Yards. They were standard yards per carry, standard downs, passing downs, everything. Even standard downs for sack rate. Yeah, you're 25th in the country. That's the only one that was actually halfway decent.
The only... Okay, if you look at the quarters and downs ranks, the only thing that ranked under 100 was third down ranked for stopping... A team. They ranked 83rd in the nation. When that's your best aspect of your game and you're still ranking that low, I just... Oh, my goodness.
I guess one positive, they do return a bulk of their starters. Like, their best player on our list, we do have Brett Bowers, our top 50. He's their best player. On defense, he makes them. Even though, here's the sad part about it: he only had 30 total. As a defensive tackle, you're not going to get a lot of tackles yourself. Defensive end, it's basically a linebacker almost. He only had 30 tackles, but he did. That's not accept. It's unacceptable. Yeah, you got 9 for loss and 6 sacks. That's quite good, but they need. I don't know what they need. They need size up front, which they don't have. Outside of, well, Nick DiAvanzio's 307. Do you see how big Randy Williams is? How you play D-end at 230? You're not a Division I athlete at 230 pounds on the defensive side of the ball.
No, not at all.
They need size, and they don't have size.
But at the same time, though, they don't have size, but that's why Bob Davie brought in JUCO.
guys.
Yeah. Well, look at this. Your middle linebacker. Middle linebacker is 235 pounds. One of your outside linebackers is 200. You have a guy, a 202-pound linebacker. How are you a Division I athlete at 202 pounds? They have a guy, redshirt freshman, 196 linebacker. How is that like smaller than Air Force? They have a guy at 190, a defense, oh, DB, I guess, or whatever.
Anybody, it's classified as ATH on NCAA 14.
I'm saying, like the defense is tiny. Every single defensive backfield gut player is under 200 pounds except for one. Just, you see this?
I see it. It's right in front of me. Of course I see it.
That's why they're terrible.
They're getting mowed over. It's like sheep being led to the slaughter, except for football.
I get a DB.
Offensive linemen are eating them.
I know. Their biggest guy in defense, let me, this is a fun game, I just realized this. They have a linebacker, it's 5'11", 224.
I'm 5'7", 215. Jack, I could play for New Mexico.
I would be considered. I've gained a few lbs. I'm about 250, which is and at 6'4", 250. That's about 40 more pounds I want to be at right now.
That's your defensive lineman.
Yeah, I could be nose tackle for those guys. Outside, well, Nick. Well, sorry, I would concede to Nick Diavonzo, 307. But still, this is the problem right here. Who's their strength and conditioning coach? Who's their meal nutrition guy? Put them on the Jordan Wynn diet. I remember when Jordan Wynn was at Utah, he was the string bean. They'd make him eat like 8,000 calories a day because he had such a tough time putting on weight. He'd wake up in the middle of the night to have shakes. He would make a milkshake, but like put half of it full of just peanut butter. He'd have PB&J all day. He'd have whole pizzas from Little Caesars for a snack. This is more glaring than anything you have. Let's go to the schedule. I'm tired of looking at this defense. They need to add some LBs and make a scheme. This is not Air Force you're dealing with.
Right.
So let's go to the schedule here. What? Let me actually pull up the right year. I looked at last year for a moment. They're 3-9 last year. I assume Bob Davies safe this year regardless? Year three?
Yeah. I think he did.
Well, he's not basically his defense. I'm not Mike Locksley.
Well, yeah, he doesn't start fights with people.
Yeah,
we didn't even get to talk about the secondary. That's okay.
What do you got? You got any pressing needs people need to know about?
David Guffrey returns.
Okay,
the guy who made up the majority of tackles on the team.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Two guys have 150 tackles.
Strong safety should not be tackling people 54 times. 53 and a half times. He even had two sacks.
Yeah, that's whatever. That's fine.
All right. Anyway.
Schedule. Their non-conference schedules, it's okay. It's kind of difficult. It's kind of not. It depends what you think of it. UTEP will always be a struggle. It's a huge rival. Every game the past couple years have been close. That's just a toss-up game regardless. They do get it at home. Season opener. Do you know anything about UTEP to add? Because I don't know too much about them at the moment to add anything to make the conversation relevant.
Yeah, nothing. Should we even say when? I mean, this
it's a toss-up. Yeah, it's a 50-50. Awesome. The past 2 years have been quite close. You got Arizona State at home. I don't know how they trick Todd Graham to come to Albuquerque.
It's because he has family in Albuquerque.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's his dream job, basketball coach.
Hey, you know, he'll take over whenever Noodles leaves.
Yeah. That could be next year, based on the way Todd Graham likes to move around, the nomad. This is the Arizona State won the Pac-12 South last year. They returned probably one of the best, outside of Brett Hundley, one of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12. I'm spacing on his name, which makes me a great host to know about this stuff.
Well, you know, even if you don't know about it, just know that, you know, A, Vontaze Burfict isn't on the team anymore. He hasn't been. And they don't have.
That's like 3 years old, man.
They don't have Brock Osweiler, who's 6'8".
No, he's not 6'8".
Fine. 7'2".
Oh, it's Taylor Kelly. That's who it was. Taylor Kelly. He'll probably be the best. Outside of Sean Mannion and Marcus Mariota, he's probably the... Well, Pac-12 is loaded at QB, but he's right there for one of the top half of the QBs. And that's saying something when you have Sean Mannion, Connor Halliday at Washington State. Heck, even tossing Cody Kessler at USC.
Oh, totally.
Pac-12 is loaded, and he's upper half of Pac-12. And they were in the Pac-12 self-title game last year. They got whooped by Stanford, I believe, even though they hosted it somehow.
No, because what the Pac-12 does is they go north-south, north-south.
No, they don't. They would go by the best team. Best record, I think.
Wait, how did Arizona State get it?
Best conference record. I think they only lost to you at UCLA, and that's it. Because Stanford lost to Utah.
Yeah, this is why we need a neutral game site.
They do now. They're going to Levi Stadium next year, or this year. Mountain West is still at the home best team in the division.
Once again, put it at Sam Boyd Stadium. Won't ever be a home team advantage.
Sorry, Rebel fans.
Sorry, UNLV.
Fan.
Sorry, my new school that I'm going to.
Not fans. Fan. Do you get free tickets since you're a student now?
No. No, grad students still have to pay.
Oh, yeah, you're a fancy graduate student. All right, so there's no way they beat Arizona State. I think they can put up some points on them, but that's about it.
New Mexico.
New Mexico State. Win. We don't need to go through every game, but the Aggies.
Okay, win.
Sure. Okay, now let's go to the other non-conference game. At UTSA, it's actually on the newly mentioned today. Now it's American Sports Network. Which it's basically a local. If whoever owns Sinclair in Albuquerque, you can watch that game. So it could be your local Fox, MyTV, CW.
There's people who live in Sinclair.
No, it's the Sinclair Networks.
Oh, Sinclair Networks.
Okay. So that could be right for your Fox, CW, MyTV. They play UTSA, and that's where Larry Coker coaches, correct?
Yes.
Because UTSA is getting some talent. We'll do some more research once we actually get to that game. But it's a road game, which obviously gives UTSA about 12 points just because it's a road game for New Mexico. And they're actually... They have some talent. Their record wasn't... Or was that Texas State? I'm mixing up. I'm trying to think here. No. Yeah, UTSA, they went to a bowl game. They went
No, they didn't. They were 7-6, but they didn't go to the bowl.
Wait a minute. Oh, my mistake. They're 7-5. I misread that. Yeah, they're 7-5. They went 6-2 in Conference USA. They're a team that'll probably... I don't know much about UTSA. I know they're supposed to be better. But they played last year, and they will beat New Mexico at New Mexico. And I remember last year we were freaking out. Like, how does this happen to a team that was a newbie to FBS?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say win on the road.
So you think there's a possibility of two non-conference wins for New
Mexico? Well, yeah, because that's probably going to be their only wins for the whole season.
Oh, that's where we're getting at. Even Air Force, who they play?
Oh, it's at Air Force. You're up in altitude.
So you're saying, okay, so let's – okay, so San Diego State, loss.
Loss.
Air Force win, right?
Air Force loss.
Or, excuse me, Air Force loss at UNLV?
I think UNLV is returning more talent than New Mexico is.
It's after a bye, so that helps.
I also think that UNLV making a bowl game last year, building some confidence, they're not on bowl ban anymore. I think UNLV is going to be a loss, especially at UNLV.
The only conference games I can see them having a chance to win are at Air Force, at UNLV, and hosting Wyoming. That's it. Does that sound about right to you?
That's their only possible wins.
Because they're not beating Boise State.
No.
They're not going to Utah State and winning. They're not going to Colorado State and winning. Now, they can be competitive versus Colorado State, I think. Because Colorado State lost Shaq Barrett and also a few other guys on the defensive side of the ball. Corey James as well, I believe. No, yes, Corey James as well.
But we already said that Colorado State... Okay, anyway.
I know, that's why I just think they can put up some points. Because New Mexico will put up points. They scored over 30 a game last year.
if they can be a little bit better defensively, that'll help their offense quite a bit. Just because it gives, they don't have to have the pressure to score as much when their defense can actually do something. Maybe give the offense some confidence in knowing that they... Whatever. Your team does well, everybody plays better. That's what I'm getting at.
Synergy.
Yeah, that, sure. That's not what synergy means, but yeah, go for it.
Hey, the sum is better than the parts.
Team building. So, we don't need to discuss too much on New Mexico, because I'm pretty sure this is a... Sorry to Mexico fans, but this is not going to be one of our more popular episodes, I'm assuming.
This, yeah.
Even though we do have a new New Mexico writer joining. Excellent, excellent. Football. Football in Mexico as well.
We should have asked Ken.
But Ken was busy.
Sorry. I know Ken was busy, but Ken would have at least given us a more accurate representation of what was going to happen. Because honestly, if you want to ask my opinion, it's 2-10.
I think non-conference, they're probably going 2-10. Okay, let's kind of be, I don't want to be the happy, happy guy, but non-conference, there's 3 winnable games.
Yes, there's 3 winnable games.
They're not going to win all 3. They will win at least 1, probably. I could see them winning 2.
Because New Mexico State is in such a sad state of affairs that...
They are in the Sun Belt now.
Huh?
They are in the Sun Belt now.
They are in the Sun Belt, but the rest of the Sun Belt is pretty much better than them.
True.
Except for Idaho.
Always. Oh, that's better than I know. And then in season or in league play, I think they'll get the 4 wins. I think they can beat Air Force because Air Force is just, oh man. Unless they, one of their quarterbacks, Nate Romine, assuming is the starter, unless he does something extremely well on Troy Calhoun, turns things around on the quick.
Man, you're super optimistic.
Well, I think. Out of the games I mentioned in league play, that's the game most winnable.
Even best more, case scenario, this is a 4-win team.
Even more so than at UNLV. When's the last time you said you would guarantee a easy or tougher game versus UNLV over Air Force? Not since Randall Cunningham was in town, and even then, Air Force has always been good.
Yeah.
I'm going 4 wins because I think they'll get something in non-conference, like 2 wins or something. I don't think Air Force is back yet, and then I think they could probably, maybe Wyoming, UNLV, I don't know. I'm going 3 or 4 wins. They're going to be about as good as they are last year. Their main goal, I think, is like we discussed with UNLV last year, maybe even 2 years ago, we kind of kept building them up. You can't get blown out. So if their defense can improve, if they're losing, say, like Hawaii last year, multiple single-digit losses, multiple one-touchdown or less losses, but their win total increases maybe by 1 or stays the same. That's still an improvement of the season.
So
I think that's where they're at this year. 3 or 4 wins, but not getting beat as bad.
So let me get this. Well, let me ask you this. If they only win 2 games this season,
okay,
but their losses are 20 points or less, is that more successful season than last season?
By average?
Yes.
I need to see what their average loss from last year was. I'm not quite familiar. Let's take a quick look. I would say no, because 20 points is a lot to get beat by. Because look at last year. Their losses, they lost to UTSA by 8. They lost by 22 to Pittsburgh. 14. All 3. Those are 2 of the 3 are less than 20 points. 3 if the Wyoming game was a touchdown. 4 to San Diego State, which somehow fell by 5.
Four.
They only had 4, so you want them to average 20? That would be an improvement, because if you look at the Fresno, losing by 41, losing to 38 to Boise State.
Yeah.
If they do, no, because here's the thing. If you look at it that way, if it's average, if they lose by 20 points every game, that looks bad.
But okay, I said 20 or less.
Well, I know, but yeah, it has to be.
I didn't mean that every game would be a 20-point loss.
No, I get average.
No, not even average. I mean, like, your worst loss is 20 points.
Okay, yeah, if there were, that's what I was going to get to.
So your worst loss, I mean, you can lose as little as 1. Or as max is 20.
Gotcha. I thought you meant like average. So I was thinking,
no.
If you lose 60 average to 10, but you have all these 2-point losses. Okay. Yeah. I get you. They need to have to win two games. Is that what you said? Correct.
Yeah, if they win two games, but they lose all their games by at the most 20 points,
they would have to have half of those. So we're down to five of those need to be one possession or less, or with it 9 points or less.
Yeah.
If they,
which if you think about it, would be due to either really good offense,
improved defense, or
making comebacks that fall short,
a passing game,
or
maybe
defense failing them at the end.
I could see that, because if you're losing 40-31 to Boise State or Utah State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, San Diego State last year was a really bad comparison, but this was a team that was winning most of the game, New Mexico, and they turned around and lost. By five. And I could see that happening so many times.
All right. I'm still going. I'm going 3-9. That's what I got.
Okay. So your wins are UTEP, New Mexico State, and Air Force?
Yes. Sure.
All right. You know what? I'll bite. I'll go 3-9 with you.
Yes. 3-9. That's all I got. I don't know what else they could do to say things better than that. That's, like I said, look at their freaking defense. They have no size. This is like a junior college defense with the size they have.
But since Football Bob has been there, their recruiting has gone up. Because if you look at their five-year F-plus recruiting, over the last 5 years, the recruiting's ranked 122nd. But their two-year recruiting average has moved up to 97. So, what Bob...
You want to give him credit? But I just say, that's just not... Again, he's not Mike Locksley. That's all I kind of... Yeah, you're 97th. You're getting better, but still. You're still, what, 10th to 12th in the Mountain West?
He's not Mike Locksley, but he's not Rocky Long either.
Well, true, but again, my argument.
And I mean, let's just ask you this: if somehow Bob Davey gets fired for whatever reason, who the hell is going to want to go to Albuquerque?
No, he's their best option.
He is, and it's a very, very slow rebuilding job.
Yeah. Correct. It's going to be slow. That's why he's still going to need two more years at least, because this year needs to get about anywhere from 2 to 4 wins in that range. Preferably more than two, at least three. If he gets the 4 wins, good. 5, wow, it's crazy. Party town, essentially. They're in Albuquerque. He needs to get that many wins, lessen the amount of blowouts, and then in 2015, contend for a bowl game.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Like UNLV.
Let me ask you this.
Ask me that.
Is there any possible way New Mexico somehow makes a bowl game this year?
I accidentally closed your schedule. Just a moment. Let me stop laughing. What?
Sorry, that's the gin talking to me right now.
Does this include no forfeitures?
This includes no forfeitures.
Okay, I want to make sure we're on the same page here. Any caveats?
Like I said, this is the gin talking in me right now.
Let me pull up the schedule and see how generous I am, since I'm apparently on the bandwagon for Nevada winning the West.
Yeah.
I've already been disproved by their the best Nevada guy out there in a recent email exchange. All right. If I'm going to be super generous...
If we're going to be super generous...
UTEP, yes. New Mexico State, yes.
UTSA, yes.
Yes. Air Force, yes. That's where we're at 4.
UNLV, yes.
UNLV, yes.
It's got to be Colorado State or Wyoming.
Wait, hold on. My screen jumped on me, huh? UTEP 1, New Mexico State 2. So you're 4 wins at Air Force, 5 versus UNLV.
They'd have to beat either Wyoming or Colorado State.
I'd go Wyoming. So, this is nothing really to do with New Mexico's talent themselves, but who they're playing. Yeah, there could be 6 wins on the schedule.
they're going to go nowhere near six wins.
If they get to five, that'll be amazing. But as for just based on what the opponents bring to the table, I could see there being seven wins. CSU's out of the range.
No.
Well, I was just thinking based on opponent. No, six is the max I would go. If everything went right, they played amazing, and a team missed a bus crash and players had not major injuries but couldn't play.
You're a horrible person.
I said not major injuries but couldn't play.
You're so horrible.
Everybody got the stomach flu. Is that better?
Yes.
I'm just saying. It's not the guy who caught. Did you see the guy who caught the ball from Giancarlo Stanton without a glove? That's got. I don't want that on people to happen to busted up hand. If you see that same scenario of those are the six games, if there's some magical dust or potion to get them to bowl eligibility.
That's the only way that could possibly happen.
And would you still include Colorado State in that? I can't do it for the Rams. No. Yes, no, CSU?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you just didn't answer, so I was wondering. Okay.
No, I said no.
I must not have heard that. My headphone kind of, my earbud fell out. Okay, that is what we got for tonight. So, three wins are near end. Is that where you're going, right?
I think that's where I'm going.
Three for you, three for me. We do have, do you have Mountain West Media Days in front of you? Is that next week?
Yes, it is.
So, we're actually going to attempt, do not hold me to this, because as everybody knows, I am terrible at keeping promises. I overpromise and underdeliver about 82% of the time.
So basically, don't listen to him at all.
No, listen now. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what I plan on would like to do. If your schedule permits, we'll do business on air because that's what we do. Because at this moment, it's 10:48 p.m. Mountain Time. And I...
You're talking to a man who has had a lot of gym time.
Yeah. And this guy here who works way too much at multiple other jobs during the day to make this happen. We're going to do a. It's July. Oh, it's Jesus. Sooner than I thought. Okay, we got a week to do this. Not even a week.
22nd, 23rd.
Oh, it's 2 days. Actually, I thought it was one day. That's even better.
No, it's 2 days. I told you this online.
Sorry. Here's the plan. We are going to do a. Since we have about 20 writers on the website, we're going to get a what our predictions are for the season before the media comes out. Because nobody, out of all 20 guys, nobody can attend media days. And if we could
let's just clarify this here.
Chris can't attend media days.
Yeah, I'm the only one in Vegas. I cannot attend media days for reasons that basically are financially beneficial.
You have a real job. You don't have vacation days built up yet.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I'm probably the second closest person. Same thing. Cannot take the days off, right? Relinquished of my duties. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have
ask Matt Bain or something like
a preseason poll between us. Maybe should we do a preseason All Mountain West team, or is that too much to ask for everybody?
I think that's reasonable, right?
We'll see. We're doing top 50 countdown. We have 20 guys, so if we get enough in there, we should be able to get at least five, because that's what we got about for our top 50. So we're going to kind of...
We have eight.
Eight. Oh, that's right, eight. I was thinking last year. So here's what... We're going to have a lot of shows this week, if that's okay with you. New Mexico's done tonight. We're going to do Nevada this week. We're going to do a preview. Yes, a preview of Media Days. And then we'll recap Media Days. Is that okay with you?
This will be something where we're just joking about who's being interviewed and stuff like that and crap they're going to say.
Well, maybe. We'll mess around. But we'll maybe talk about questions we would ask if we were there. What would be if there's
well, if you remember, 2 years ago, I was social mediaing by tweeting questions to players while the social media thing was on.
I'm assuming that's going to be the same as well. Let's see what is.
I mean, if you remember, that's where the whole that's how the whole Travel Channel article came up.
Oh, that's right. I would love to. I love the Mountain West website, but I'd love if they let me download these things. They say it's a PDF, but my downloader says it's not a PDF.
So, okay, we're done. We don't need to discuss any more business. We're going to have a lot of shows this week, previewing shows. We are going to preview and talk about Media Days, so know people love that. We'll blow up the budget for the coverage, I should say, on this thing. So we'll see. We'll do all that stuff. We'll have all the updates you need for the Mountain West Media Days. We're doing our top 50 countdown. We're kind of previewing some non-conference opponents. You and me need to get on that if we're going to finish up soon.
Yep.
And, yeah, football's almost here. We are less than a week from Media Day. We are about 3 weeks away from fall camp opening. We are 6 weeks away from Thursday.
We're 6 weeks away.
6 weeks away from week one happening. Six more Saturdays without college football. Five more.
We have MLS.
Five more weeks without college football. So that's all we got for tonight. Thanks for listening to this show that's probably longer than we meant to be. Check us out at mwcconnection.com, at GreekPadre. What's your Twitter follower account at the moment?
I should follow
at GreekPadre.
While I'm looking this up, you could at least try and be entertaining.
I could. You can follow me at Twitter or our site, at mwcconnection, where I will tweet about anything and everything, so make sure to follow that all the time.
Yeah, I'm tweeting about anything and everything about randomness or, you know, kind of talk about what kind of games I would possibly want to go to this year.
Yeah, give Chris ideas.
Like the New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah, we get to New Orleans Bowl. Give Chris an idea of where he should go.
I'm actually up to 363.
363, good job. All right, so again, thanks for everybody listening. Check us out at mwcconnection.com. Give us a review. Go to iTunes, give us a review. Give us a comment on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us there. SoundCloud, give us a little heart on there. I guess that's what it's called. Just listen to the show. We're bringing, hopefully this is enjoyable for everybody. We like doing it. We're screwing around talking football. We are quasi-professional doing this, so thanks for everybody.
Right. That's the definition of a blog. It's quasi-professional.
Yeah, yes.
We do professional things, but we also mess around a lot.
Yeah, so thanks to everyone who listens, downloads, visits the site. Everything's blowing up, so thanks for all that, and we will come back with our next show, which will be probably a Nevada preview show.
We already did Nevada.
Oh. You confused me with the abbreviations. Sorry.
Come on, man.
We are New Mexico, Nevada, New Mexico.
San Diego State.
Oh. I think we'll have a guest for
that
show.
We are into the S's.
We'll have a Matthew on the show, most likely.
We'll have a Matthew.
We have multiple on the site to talk about the Aztecs, so... David, we'll get you on another time. Don't worry. You're not getting kicked out from us, but I assume you listen.
We still love you, David.
You always do. But yeah, check us next time for San Diego State preview and probably some Media Day stuff. And everyone have a good rest of your night and hope this major day.